live at newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Hokas, Pialafon Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And welcome, everyone. We have a terrific group of guests today, all from Future Leaders of America. Let me introduce them. Goana Macedo. Is that right?
So it's Edgar Goana Macedo.
Okay, well, you did it better than I did. Who's the executive director? Vicente Garcia, Jr., a lead organizer. Esperanza Osegueda, the Santa Barbara youth organizer. And Olivia Carranza.
Perfect.
a parent coordinator. Maybe we should just take the whole show and keep introducing them. It's such a long list. Who's running this store back at the center? Everyone's here.
We are.
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing I have to say, I think the name is terrific. You know, so many outreach and non-for-profits that deal with youth have their mission and name as a way of sometimes talking about problems, but you have a very positive name. You're not talking about just making people a little bit better. You're talking about making them future leaders of America. And how that came about? You don't look old enough to have started the group in 1980.
No, it's a little bit older than I am. But the idea behind Future Leaders was to create positive role models among the community in Oxnard, Latino community members in Oxnard. Our founder, Gil Cuevas, thought there was a vacuum. Because Latinos were doing, there was a high incidence of drug use, violence, sex amongst teenagers, and also really high dropout rates. And so he thought that if we created a peer-to-peer model where Latinos could engage Latinos, that we too could become future leaders of America.
And this group is one of so many in this community. One of the things that when I moved here 19 years ago, I found very, very attractive for someone coming from New York is that there are literally hundreds of organizations trying to do good things for the community. And AHA, which is, one of the lead sponsor of this, sort of has a similar mission. So I commend you on what you do. And it's so important because it... You have a society today that's essentially split between the haves and the have-nots, and the idea of giving everyone an opportunity to be all they can be is so important. So, tell me about how you operate. Is this a program that you go out and look for people who need help, or is this a program where people know that you exist and the schools know that you exist, and people come in and sign up?
Yeah, so we actually have – so our flagship program is a 6-day, 5-night leadership program, and we've hosted it in Rancho Alegre for the past couple of years. And we actually have Vicente, Esperanza, and sometimes we go into the high schools and really engage the students in the program. So we talk to them about the program, why leadership quality is important, why education is important, and that's how we do recruitment.
So – Esperanza, you're the person that goes into the school, do you do it in a classroom setting, or do you just hang around the hallways and lurk? how do you actually do it?
So what I'll be doing in the upcoming winter is I'll be visiting different classrooms. So that could be like an AVID class, an ASB class. What other classes do we usually attend? I'm drawing a blank on English. Them. English classes, just any other teacher who is like interested in our program really and is welcoming us, then we'll go in into their classroom and kind of present and get kids interested into our programs and into our YLC, our youth leadership conference.
And what if a kid raises his hand who's not Hispanic and says, can I join? What do you say?
We welcome him mm-hmm. with open arms.
Okay, yes. So this is not restricted to Latina and Latinos.
That's correct.
And is it, but most of the kids are or aren't?
Well, it's very interesting. When we talk about the Latino community, we're talking about a very broad population. So we get students who sometimes only speak Spanish, and we get students who only sometimes speak English, but they come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
One of the things that we've had the superintendent of schools, both the old one and the new one, on, and both of them have said one of the challenges in the Santa Barbara school system is making sure, just like as a microcosm of this country, everyone gets along. And I said, well, of course they get along. He said, no, they don't. There's still tension between different economic, socioeconomic groups, racial groups. And, you know, for someone like me whose kids are grown, I was sort of surprised by that. I thought this is, you know, the People's Republic of Santa Barbara. Everybody is nice, and it seems to me everybody is nice. But apparently there are still challenges.
There are. I grew up here in Santa Barbara. I went to San Marcos High School. And, I mean, a very clear example of like, what's going on in our school systems is that you have a kid who grows up on the west side, which is where I grew up, with a bus pass. And then you have another student who grew up in Montecito or somewhere in Santa Barbara with the car keys. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the type of dichotomy that you have here in Santa Barbara. You have between the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, there's a lot of friction, you know. And there's a lot of students who don't feel welcome. There's a lot of students who don't feel they're part of the system because they don't look a certain way. They don't act a certain way. Or maybe they don't have the money that a part of the population has.
And how much of a time commitment do kids have to make to become part of these programs?
Ooh, they're there a lot.
So biweekly we have Flama meetings, which is kind of an extension of our camp. Those are about an hour and a half long. We also have council meetings that are offset from that, so it's a smaller group of students that meet on those other weeks. So they're basically busy every Wednesday of the month, our council students are.
So what happens? I know in AHA there are cases for different activities where AHA actually pays the kids to go because the families don't want them to be working about, on their own self-esteem. Quite frankly, they want them to go to work. Do you have any resistance from parents who feel that they're wasting their time or not wasting their time, but are more interested in them bringing something back to the home?
Actually, I'm glad that you asked that question. Parents are very interested in their kids getting their education. And one of the main concerns that they have express is the education on themselves, which is raising their self-esteem and knowing who they really are and what they can really do. So it's very important for their parents to have their kids learning about how to improve themselves. And it's not only about the money, because that we have seen that in our generations, that most of the kids go to work so they can bring the money into the families. But now parents have realized that it's more important for their kids to know themselves, to know who they are, and to go and get an education so they can really have a better future and a better life. So things have changed.
And I think something that really helps us out is our staff. We come from the same background. There's some culturally proficiency that we have, and we're able to communicate with the parents and tell them, like, this is what our program does. This is why it's beneficial. This is why it's important. And, you know, sometimes when we build that relationship with the parents, I know Esperanza or Vicente can just call them up and they'll drop off the students. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the type of community that we've tried to build as future leaders. And we live in the community. And so I know I go running on the west side and I see, like, a lot of the moms. It's kind of embarrassing because I'm a little sweaty. Mm-hmm. But that's the type of community organization that we are. We're rooted in the community where the parents feel comfortable allowing them to come over. And even this weekend, we're going to UC Davis. We're taking the students to Davis. And the parents have been really excited about this trip because we are going to engage their kids in higher education, talk about it, and really demystify that college is only a possibility for the rich.
And by the way, just to get a plug in for one of our sponsors, one of the I would consider secrets of the area is CSU Channel Islands. It's a great opportunity to get an education. It's 25% of the price of UCSB. It focuses on education rather than on teachers writing articles. And, you know, they're a Hispanic outreach or whatever the term is. They have a classification that gives them some kudos in terms of outreach for Latina and Latinos. It's a really great asset. How many kids do you serve now?
So right now we're serving about 124 students. We're going to double that in the coming year. We got some grant money coming in that's going to allow us to serve more students in South Santa Barbara County.
You're talking about just Santa Barbara County?
Just Santa Barbara, yeah.
Okay, and in total, what is the whole?
Ooh, so Santa Maria serves about 120 students, and so does Oxnard.
Okay, and you're the executive director of everything?
Yes, sir.
So can I still call you by your first name?
Yes, sir.
And this is Wednesday. You said Wednesday is an important day. What's happening today? You're all sitting here.
Oh, tonight we have our council meeting.
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, tonight we also have a parent meeting.
And we have our board meeting.
So what time are you going to get home tonight?
Already.
It'll be a fun meeting. It'll be a fun meeting.
Okay. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with a group from Future Leaders of America. Gawana Macedo.
Gawana Macedo.
Okay, well, close. I have three more times after this. Vicente Garcia Jr., lead organizer. Esperanza Osegueda.
Osegueda.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Did you do it better than I did? Okay. Santa Barbara Youth Organizer and Olivia Carranza.
Perfect again, Neil.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I have to begin by, you know, one of the big problems in across the country and that is gang violence. And, you know, there are several ways to deal with it. One is to deal with it before people become associated with gangs. The other is to deal with it after or when they're in it. How do you deal? I mean, it must be an issue that you confront. How do you deal with someone that, you know, gets caught up in that whole gang cycle?
You know, that's an interesting question. But so when we do outreach and we go into the 8th and 9th graders, what we do though, if what we're seeing is not necessarily about the outcome, but more about the mental health and the root causes, they're leading the students to risky behavior, maybe gang activities, maybe drugs, maybe alcoholism. And so I think that's where we come at it from. Don't necessarily scold the kid for, you know, being involved, because maybe there's something that is underlying. And I know Vicente has mentored students who are doing a program out in, what, Slo County?
Mm-hmm.
To kind of prepare them to get out of that those situations. But when we do face those situations, you know, we try to refer them as much as possible. We're not clinicians, but we can provide a support and a peer-to-peer program that engages students, even if they have high-risk behavior, to become positive role models.
If someone is, though, I know you're saying you're not clinicians and there are other programs that really are more directed towards this, but if someone is looking for help because of pressure or because of threats, are you there to help guide them through that?
Yeah, so we're there to support them. If a student comes at us and tells us that they're going to get beat up or whatnot, then we do. That we've had a case like that where a student comes in and says, I have been threatened, you know? And what we can do to the best of our ability is call the school, call their counselors, and tell them about the situation. We're mandated reporters, so everything that we do here, we do have to report to the county so the county can follow up and make sure that the student receives the services that they do need, especially when it comes to mental health services.
This country is very split now politically, and the current proposed, both in the House and in the Senate, tax bill would reduce a lot of the social safety net. And there is, you know, some concern even it would touch not only Medicaid, but Medicare as well. Do you have any funding from government sources?
Yeah. So we have government funding, not just from the city, the county, but we also have a federal CDBG, which is the Community Development Block Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been signing letters, petitions to make sure that those fundings aren't cut, because these public service programs do really make an impact in the community. If FLA was wiped out, I think we'd be the only one. We're so unique in Santa Barbara that no one would be able to duplicate our services. And so we're always looking out to make sure that the funding streams, especially from government agencies, don't cut what we've worked so hard to build, especially in a community like Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it's so mind-boggling that people are really considering lowering taxes on corporations and cutting it from people who aren't able to pay for lunch for their child for breakfast. It's really quite astounding. The other government issue that I know has affected some of the kids in AHA is the DACA threats and the immigration threats. And kids are frightened that if they come home, they may not have a home. Are you seeing that with your constituency, that people are actually frightened about what's happening?
Yeah. Yes. And you know what, Neil, when you mentioned about gangs, it's not just gangs. It's also working with the Latino community. Usually it's layers upon layers of trauma. And it's not just gangs. Sometimes it's poverty. Rent here in Santa Barbara, as you know, is sky high. It's a lack of role models as well. And as you said, it's also the national rhetoric. In the last year, we've noticed within parents and also students, there definitely has been a spike. If a parent had anxiety or stress, there's been a spike to that. If a student had some kind of mental illness, there's been a spike to that. And we've definitely noticed it in our program.
Last year after the election, every December we have a family leadership camp. This year we were not able to have it. The wildfires took down the campsites. But we were at Camp Whittier, and we sensed the tremor that the parents, especially the moms and dads, were feeling because of this new regime that was coming in and threatened really our families, threatening our community, our livelihoods, our aunts and uncles. And so as an organization, we were really dumbfounded. Did we not do enough to really call out a lot of the stuff that was happening nationally against Latinos, against immigrants? I'm an immigrant. And we decided to, instead of staying quiet, that we were going to organize our community around issues that really mattered, including safe schools. So right after the election, we went to the school board and said, hey, we need a resolution that says that immigration officials can't come onto our campuses. And, you know, they were really positive about it. We got the resolution. So the resolution that we were able to advocate for here in Santa Barbara, we were able to not only duplicate in Oxnard, but also in Santa Maria. And we did this not because we wanted a policy win, but the healing that comes with organizing and being able to protect your kid or your son or daughter, or you as a son trying to give your parents peace of mind, is definitely one of the most powerful things that I think our youth and our families have been able to engage in the last couple of months. And right after the DACA announcement, we rallied up and we decided to have a rally in the courthouse. And we not only did it in Santa Barbara, but we also did it in Oxnard and in Santa Maria. And that's what we've been engaging in, to make sure that our families, our community, that they feel that they have a place in a community like Santa Barbara and that they're able to advocate and heal along.
You know, it's incredible. This is not directed at you. It's just I can't help myself from saying this. But on CNN last week, they interviewed Hispanic voters who voted for Trump because Trump got 29% of the vote in Nevada. And they asked about 10 of them what they think and would they vote for him again. And everyone's, it's not scientific, but everyone said they'd vote for him again because they felt that he was good for the economy. So it's just, you know, it's I don't get it. I really don't understand it. But that's what makes people have different opinions. So let me ask you this. Do you find that this type of fear that these kids have actually interfere with their ability to learn? I mean, it's not just hypotheticals. You know, as an adult, maybe we can deal with it. But, you know, I would think that these kids are having trouble, you know, concentrating if they're really worried.
It's not only the students, but the parents.
Parents.
The parents have a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress that's filtering down to the students. Mm-hmm. I know I have family members who have talked about, you know, having a plan of action in case immigration does come down to the household. Mm-hmm. And that type of fear isn't something that you can just take away. And, yeah, it trickles down to the students. And, unfortunately, we are seeing students who are a little bit more stressed out than they should be. Instead of enjoying their teenage years, they're more worried about whether or not their parents are going to get deported or whether or not, you know, they're going to have a mom or dad.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Future Leaders of America with Eder Gawana Macedo, not bad, Executive Director, Vicente Garcia Jr. So why can't everyone have an easy name like Vicente?
You know, you should ask my mom.
Who's lead, right, you asked your mom. There's lead organizer, Esperanza Osegura. You always have to correct me. But I still won't get it right. Santa Barbara Youth Organizer, and Olivia Carranza, Parent Coordinator. So let's step back for a minute. We've been talking about Future Leaders of America. Let's talk about the current future leaders, you four. Tell us, first of all, let's start on this side. Olivia, how did you get involved?
Well, actually, I have three kids, and my oldest one was in a little bit of trouble when she was in a freshman and a sophomore at Dos Pueblos High School. And I was noticing my daughter was really bored at classes and was not doing really well on her grades as well. So I went to talk to one of the counselors, and then I was introduced to Future Leaders of America. So I went to a family camp, and then I started introducing Future Leaders to my daughter. She started liking it. She started noticing, you know, a few changes that she could be introducing into her life. She started, we started getting involved in her classes, like finding out what kind of classes she was taking, what kind of counselor she was having, what kind of teachers she was getting, what kind of information she was getting. And she was getting, she was actually into the wrong classes. She was actually stuck in classes that she was not learning anything. They were not really teaching her anything. She didn't really want to finish high school. She didn't want to go to the university. So I got worried. I thought I was doing the right thing since elementary school, getting involved in her classroom and going to field trips and helping the teacher and all those things. But it wasn't enough. I noticed how my daughter was wanting to be a dropout. And I said, no, I cannot take that for my daughter. So I started learning information from Future Leaders about what, as a mother, I can do. And I got involved into her classrooms, into her classes. I put her into the right classes. She was able to graduate, even after her counselor told her that she was not going to graduate from high school. It was really devastating to me. As a mother, it was so horrible. My daughter was sad. However, I had the right information, and I was able to make some changes, and I work with my daughter. We both together work as a team, and she was able to graduate. And right now, she's in City College, getting her transfer into UCSB for right now. And I'm so glad that she is getting her education now. My second daughter, my middle child, she's actually part of FLA already. She's the president of the teen group, FLAMA group.
But wait, that wasn't fair. You probably fixed it so she could be
She did it all herself. She learned from her sister. She didn't want to go through the same struggles. I didn't want my daughters, my other daughter as well, didn't want them to go through the same struggles. I don't want the other kids to go through the same struggles. That's why, I mean, we're just talking about the fears that our kids have. They have lots of fears. The first one is to not get an education, not to get the same opportunities that everybody else have. That's a fear that we parents have now that we know that, in fact, they're not getting the same education. So that's the biggest fear, I think, that we have. But working together as a team, and that's what I learned here at Future Leaders, that my kids and myself, we can be a team. We can work together so we can make some changes. And
So Future Leaders is not just dealing with the kids. It's dealing with parents and helping parents understand what they need to do.
Of course. And you know what? Learning as a parent that we are the first educators of our children, that we are the first people that are really teaching and modeling the kids. It's so important to know, because now that we have the responsibility, then we want more. And as parents, I used to have 9 little jobs as a single mother. I used to sell Mary Kay. I used to do a lot of stuff, face painting, everything. I did 9 little jobs for a few years. And that's okay. But I really want my kids to get an education, to finish an education, not only just to get enrolled in a university. No, I want them to finish strong. I want him to finish with a title, with a degree. And I'm going to help him. But I have to know. I have to know what's real as a parent. Otherwise, our kids are going to be dropouts, or our kids are going to be bored in, doing whatever odd jobs. We don't want them to do that. That's not our kids. That's not the future of our kids. And we have to make sure that we change that and we help them. And as a parent, by learning the right thing, we will do it.
You know, it's really astounding listening to you, because when I first started with working with City College, the one of the biggest things we had to do was try to convince parents that education was important. And I used to tell people that, you know, I came from a background where education was critical, and my parents and my grandparents were insistent, and I would hear stories that in the Hispanic family, there wasn't that. And I'm listening to you, and you sound like my mother. I don't mean age-wise, but that sort of imperative that education is the future is unbelievable in a short period of time, that you have people actually embracing something that is going to make it possible for them to do whatever they choose. So that's great.
Yeah, thank you. If I may, I actually want to say something. It's not that the parents don't know how important it is, education. It's actually the other side of the room needs to know how to bring the information to the parents. It is not that the parents don't know, don't care about education. Actually, we care so much, but we don't know what to do. We don't know how to play the game. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know what's there for our kids. That's the main problem. Parents don't know, and the people on the other side are not giving the information, the correct information. They're not pointing the parents into the right direction. They're not putting the options in front of the parents as well. They're not even putting the right options in front of the children.
So how does the group, Future Leaders of America do that? Do you have outreach to the parents as opposed to the kids? Okay, so that you're constantly communicating with parents about the opportunities for education, the importance of education.
Correct.
Yeah, and one of our programs is our Family Leadership Conference, which is a 3-day, 2-night overnight conference for the parents. So it's all in Spanish. And we really engage in the idea that college can be an opportunity for their sons and daughters. And we bring in speakers from the district, from the university, and we really start from the beginning. This is what a GPA is. This is what the 4-year requirements are for a 4-year. And then we talk a little bit about the importance of getting the parents engaged in their child's education, whether it's individually in a micro type of way or organizing, which is what Olivia's working on. Like, how do we create or deplete that academic gap between the haves and the have-nots here in Santa Barbara? And so what we're doing in the coming months is looking needs assessment. What's missing in our community? What do we need to do? And how do we get our parents, our marginalized parents, our Spanish-speaking community to be vocal and talk about the needs that they have in Santa Barbara?
That's great, because that, you know, the idea of just getting a high school degree is not going to make it anymore. And the more that you help these kids, and you know, it's not charity. There's one of the great stories we had at City College. We had a girl, first generation, no one had gone to school. She struggled. There was help from the foundation, and anyway, long story short, she got her PhD from MIT, and she's now working on a cure for cancer. And she was just rated one of the top 100 women in science. So from a societal standpoint, forget about being a good person. Mm-hmm. Why throw these brains away? You know, this is a woman now that is going to make a major impact on society. So, and she wasn't able to get through elementary school, and now she's one of the leaders. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Eder Gawana Macedo.
Gawana Macedo.
Gawana Macedo, right?
Gawana.
Gawana.
Yeah.
Okay. Executive Director of Future Leaders of America, Vicente Garcia Jr., Lead Organizer, Esperanza Osegura.
Geda.
All right, Geta, a Santa Barbara Youth Organizer, and Olivia Carranza, Parent Coordinator. So let's keep going around the room. So Esperanza, how did you get involved?
So my story is not as special as Olivia's.
Okay, let's move on then.
Let's go back to me.
Yeah.
Let's go back to right.
Before this, I worked as a crisis counselor, and I was kind of looking to get back.
Where as a crisis counselor?
With Seneca Family of Agencies in Oxnard. Uh-huh. So I was working there, and I wasn't really looking for another job, but I happened to stumble across this job posting for a youth organizer. And when I read the description, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, this is everything that I would ever want to do. And it seems to really fit me. And as I learned about Future Leaders of America, I felt more and more passionate about the organization and all the work that it does. And it really allowed me to kind of get back into this work. And every day that I come to work, I cannot help but feel ecstatic or proud and, you know, all the happy emotions and that you could possibly feel. You know, just I really found my home with Future Leaders, and I feel that I really hit the jackpot and working with an incredible organization.
And when you went to high school, and college, did you have the same experience that we're dealing with these kids today?
So I went to Fillmore High, and my educational experience was a little different. Fillmore is a really high migrant population, and so I saw a lot of kids that looked a lot like me. So there wasn't a whole lot of divide in terms of, you know, I felt racial tension or anything like that. I wouldn't say that I felt that. I was also very fortunate enough that my mom knew how to really advocate for me and advocate for my educational experience. So she was kind of the Olivia, right, you know, fighting for me to have the right counselors, the right teachers, making sure I do all my correct requirements for me to go to college. And so after high school, I went on to go to UCSD, and that's when I really started to get involved in student advocacy, you know, just fighting for things I felt were really important and learning more about communities of color and the kind of oppression that they face and how important it is to kind of challenge that and work with that.
Great, great. And Vicente.
Yes.
Oh, first let me say that you told me during the break you're a graduate of CSU Chernow Allen.
Right.
We don't want to bury that lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
So how did you get involved?
Well, you know, Neil, I was born in Santa Barbara. I was raised in Isla Vista. And if you're familiar with Isla Vista, it's a college party town. Now, growing up in IV, I never thought about going to college, but I thought about going to parties. and so with that said, I didn't have many positive male role models that looked like I did. In fact, I noticed that many students living in Isla Vista were not Latino or did not look like I did. And so at age 13, my father became disabled. He worked as a painter in Montecito. And I got my first job at 13, and I've had a job ever since. I decided to go to college because at the local Isla Vista Teen Center, where I would go to get homework help, there were mentors and tutors that looked like I did. They enjoyed the same music that I did. They enjoyed the same foods that I did. And I thought to myself, if they could go to college, then I could do it also. And that was my key motivation. That was my aha moment. And I decided to go to college. Now, I decided to pursue automotive technology because I figured it'd be more realistic that I do something laborious, like being a mechanic. I got an associate's degree, started working in a shop in Montecito. There, I was really happy. However, I did notice that many of the people that were working there, you know, it was whether you were a have or a have not. Working at a gas station and mechanic shop, I noticed that many actors, well-known actors who live in our area, would come by and fill up their expensive cars without worrying about the amount of money spent. Then I would notice people who were painters like my dad, people that clean houses like my mom, and they would ask for $5 or $6 just to get home. So that was a very emotional aspect, and it wasn't really working out for my mental wellness, considering that I was also one of the only Latinos with a certified position in Montecito working at the shop. And so I continued my education at CSU Channel Islands, got my bachelor's degree in 2015 in Chicano studies, and I am fortunate enough to work with Future Leaders of America. Now, with Future Leaders of America, I always knew I wanted to come back and help out my community. And I am doing that right now. In fact, we are also working on campaigns that involve the reduction of drug and alcohol in Santa Barbara. In the coming year, we will be working with our youth, parents, and other community members and organizations to begin a campaign on alcohol reduction here in Santa Barbara. So we hope that you will have us back so we can mention to the community a little bit more about this upcoming work. As some of you already know, there is research out there that says that Santa Barbara is the second drunkest city in California. Now, what that says is that it's not our city is not tailored for our youth. It's, in fact, tailored for tourists. And so above giving the teens leadership development skills, we also give them the platform to practice their leadership skills and do community advocacy work. So we will be working that in the coming year.
Okay, and thank you. And Eder, how did you get involved?
So I was actually undocumented when I found out about Future Leaders. I was brought here to the U.S., to Santa Barbara, when I was 4. And, you know, for all aspects of my life, I thought I was American. I read better than some of my counterparts. I did math a lot better than a lot of my friends. And when I got to high school, I found out I was undocumented. And so one day, one of my, Miss Haynes, who's at San Marcos, was like, hey, do you want to join this group? So it's a 6-day, 5-9 leadership conference. And I remember thinking in my head, hell no. Like, why would I want to leave my house? Because it was my first time that I was going to leave. And so she wrote my letter of recommendation. She said, all you have to do is fill out this application. And I think I did it, not because I thought I was going to get in, but because I just wanted her to like be like, hey, I submitted it. So I ended up going to my first youth leadership conference with FLA in 2003. And ever since, FLA played a critical part of my life, at least in high school, when I was undocumented and really thought that a lot of the opportunities that were afforded to a lot of my peers weren't really for me. I would walk down State Street, look at different signs, and I noticed that a lot of things weren't for me because as an undocumented student in Santa Barbara, not only did I have to shelter myself to make sure that no one tried to kick me out of the country, but that I also needed to make sure that I did better than a lot of my peers. And my senior year came, and my Future Leaders mentor, Gabby, asked me where I was applying to college. And I remember I was really nervous when I told her that I was undocumented. My palms were sweaty. And I ended up applying to 3 colleges that night, USCLA, UCSB, and UC Santa Cruz. And I got into all of them. Decided to go to UCLA. Go Bruins. shameless plug. And I went to Columbia afterwards, where I got my master's, specifically in policy. So when I was in New York, I actually just wanted to go back to L.A. I thought that L.A. was my home. I wanted to do policy work around Latinos in Education. And this opportunity opened up when I came back to volunteer for a youth leadership conference in 2014 after I graduated. And there was a spark. And I knew that I wanted to come back to Santa Barbara, and I knew that I wanted to come back to work for future leaders. And the ED was leaving at the time, so it just kind of all aligned. And ever since, we've really tried to not only focus on the program, but through our advocacy efforts, build healthy and prosperous communities for all youth so that they can grow up and become active members of our community.
Well, I can tell you, as someone who lived in New York for 50 years, you made the right decision coming here.
I think so.
This is, and, you know, it's interesting to listen to all four of you. You're so eloquent and so dedicated to what you do. And it's no wonder that the work that you've done has been so important to the community. So I thank you for that. You are listening to AHA Presents About Education. Believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226. Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Future Leaders of America, Eda Gaona Macedo.
There
you
go.
All right.
Executive Director. And Vicente Garcia Jr., Lead Organizer, and Esperanza Osegura. She almost didn't want to correct me because there's no hope. And Olivia Garanza, parent coordinator.
Okay. Close enough.
Well, the first two times I did it perfectly, and the fourth time it's close enough. That's pretty sad. So what about LGBT? Is that an issue that you come across? This whole, you know, the issue of rights to the LGBT community, does that come up?
So when we do our conferences over the summer, some of the students, we've had cases where students come out as gay. And that's something that we don't tell them, hey, to be ashamed of it or anything, but we do try to connect them with different organizations to talk to them about their rights and everything. But then we also have workshops with Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So Planned Parenthood comes in, 7-8 times during the fall, and talks to them not just about identity, but consent, protecting yourself, and also your rights as a human and your sexual reproductive rights. And it's really nice to see them engage in that conversation at such a young age And they have a really cool evaluation where they can gauge where their outcomes.
You know, it's amazing how much government support can be a good thing and how much taking it away. We talked about taking away grants for you. We're talking about now Planned Parenthood, who's also under the threat of losing funding. And, you know, they're, in many cases, the only place that people can get education. Forget about birth control. Just get education. And so so many of our institutions that are so important to people are being threatened. So what's a safe zone? You have a thing on your website about safe zones. What's a safe zone?
So after the elections, we looked at different policies that we could engage in as an organization to not only organize but also heal our community around this idea that we need to be safe during this new regime. And Safe Zone came out of L.A., actually, where the school board, LAUSD, decided to pass a resolution basically stating their reaffirmation for schools being a place of learning, not a fear of anxiety. And they stated in their policies that immigration authorities, ICE, weren't welcome to our campuses. And so that's something that we worked on. We got the policy from L.A., and we worked on it here in Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, and Oxnard. And like I said, it was a really good opportunity for our community to be involved. We filled up the rooms in three different districts, but we were also able to talk to them about the collective voice, the critical mass, that energy to protect our loved ones. And right afterwards, I know Vicente held a debrief here in Santa Barbara, and just the tears that were coming out of the parents because they felt that even though they were undocumented, they could look after their students in this way, for us was really difficult to process, you know? And this is someone that lives, you know, here in Santa Barbara. And they fear that someone's going to come in and, you know, get them or their children. And so that's what a safe zone is.
In the schools.
In the schools. Keep out. ICE, immigration agents, keep out of our schools.
And it's universally accepted here.
And the Santa Barbara Unified School District adopted a policy.
Okay, and a number of times you mentioned leadership camp. So that is what? You didn't explain what it is. What is the leadership camp?
Our leadership camp is five-day, six-night leadership camp, and it's usually in the Santa Barbara Mountains, Rancho Alegre and or Camp Whittier. Now, at this leadership training, students go through different leadership style workshops. For example, public speaking, assertiveness, goal setting, and one of the most important ones is how to get to college. And as I mentioned earlier, Neil, after students go through these workshops, they come back to our community and they already have these leadership skills and they go ahead and implement them in their own youth-led advocacy campaigns. And like I mentioned earlier, this year we'll be working on drugs and alcohol in Santa Barbara.
So with the minute we have left, how can our listeners give to your organization?
Yeah, so we have our Facebook, so you can go on our Facebook, but we also have our website and we take donations. Everything's tax deductible. FutureLeadersNow.org. They can log in, and we have a PayPal button that they can donate to Future Leaders. If you want to sponsor a student to go through a one-week youth leadership conference, it costs us $450 to sponsor a student to attend our conference. Can't make that. We do have a payment system of $3,750 a month that they can make to make sure that they can sponsor a student throughout the year.
And do you have any fundraising events coming up?
Yes, we have a Tamaleada fundraiser December 10th at La Casa de la Raza. Please follow us on Facebook. Put your order in for tamales. Again, December 10th at La Casa de la Raza, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Era, Vicente, Esperanza, and Olivier, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all you do. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
It's 3.